Well, starting in 1100 is sort of starting in the middle of the story, but I suppose one has to start somewhere. So just to really remind anyone listening to this that around 1100, Europe is actually experiencing an amazing period of both demographic and economic growth. And that leads a lot to the creation of new settlements, and particularly the creation of new urban settlements all over Europe, and particularly more and more in northern Europe, where there hadn't been that old infrastructure of cities left from the Roman period, from the period of the Roman Empire. And Jews often were invited to, or indeed themselves simply migrated, towards these new areas of economic activity, where they facilitated the development of markets. They brought very often financial services that were required in order to activate the local economies. And they normally did so, and in very, very often did so, at the invitation of, say, a local bishop, sometimes a local ruler. A great example just before 1100 is, of course, the Norman conquest. So William the Conqueror comes over from Normandy as Duke of Normandy, and once he becomes King of England too, he actually brings Jews to settle in the major cities in order to fulfill a function as money changers in what is now a big empire with lots of different coins going around, and they literally mediate between these different denominations. So the Jews are very much present in the centres of economic activity, not strictly though, because they also exist as agricultural producers and as artisans. This is particularly the case in southern Europe. Now, this is their activity, but of course, attitudes to the Jews are also governed by long-held ideas, ideas developed within Christianity about the religion from which Christianity was born. So to give the very influential and classic formulation of St. Augustine, the most important and definitive theologian of the Middle Ages, beginning of the Middle Ages, is to say that the Jews are part of the Christian story. The Jews are like book carriers or librarians to Christianity. They have their old Hebrew books upon which Christianity is based, in which we're told the prophecies of the coming of Jesus, etc., but also that they have a role to play. Jews ought to be around so they can act as sort of witnesses to the story of Christianity. So the Jews are not in charge, they're sort of in exile, they're second-class citizens perhaps, and that is part of the story, because that is because they did not see the light, they did not follow Christianity, but one day they will convert in the end of time. So the Jews are part of the Christian story. The Jews are also, they everywhere appear in the texts of Christianity, you know, be it Abraham and Isaac, the patriarchs from the Old Testament, but also Jews as reported in the Gospels. So the Jews are everywhere to be found within the religious culture of Christianity. So the question to us historians is to say, to what extent did European people, did medieval European people, use that knowledge about the formative early history of Christianity and carry it over, as it were, to their treatment of Jews in the here and the now, which is obviously more than 1,000 years later? That is the question. How do you treat Jews that are your neighbours, with whom you're working, who live within your communities but not adhere to your community of faith? And that is a challenge that faced all communities. And it didn't only face, of course, about Jews. It also faced, say, in Spain, in Iberia, it was also a question that was faced when encountering big Muslim communities. But throughout most of Europe, in cities, you did have the Jews there posing that question. To what extent do you protect them? To what extent do you exploit them? To what extent do you care about their well-being at all? To what extent do you use them as a conduit, actually, to better understanding of the Bible, which is, of course, necessary for good Christian understanding itself? So we find, say, in the 12th century, which is a period of enormous intellectual growth, development of new schools, a lot of intellectual activity, that we find people who are commentators on the Bible actually going to learn Hebrew, or indeed discussing the niceties of Christian theology with a Jew as a sort of useful interlocutor who will pose all those difficult questions that a Christian needs to be able to answer. So the relationship at the intellectual level is an extremely intimate and indeed intricate one. As to at the social level, it's a combination of intimacy and neighbourhood and of course also distance and distinction. And sometimes, because it's a vulnerable group, often dependent on the favor and the protection of kings and rulers, when that breaks down, when that protection breaks down, they can also be prey to violence.